Seems I usually run with a hot thermostat. I'm also faced with the question of whether or not to go ahead and preach my sermon or not. What do y'all think?
Yes.
Absolutely.
We came for a sermon, Emma.
Okay. All right. The one thing that I will start with, though, is I'm very upset this morning because I read something in CNN. The nation's top 10 preachers recall the best sermon that they ever heard. They are all men. They are all men, nor do they have any sermons by women in there. Sometimes when you think that we have come so far ahead, yet we have not. And so one of the first things that I'm going to do this afternoon is write CNN a nasty letter. So.
Good.
Can I help you
post it? We should all write CNN a nasty letter.
Yes, exactly. A suggestion. Will you join me now in a word of prayer, please? Spirit of creation, birth, and beginnings. Mystery of life. One whose movement within us we must feed and care for. We must look after. We must tend to. Help us to make room for you within. Help us to make room for you to grow in our lives. And as we gather here this morning, making space for you among us, making room for you here, grant us an awareness of your presence with us, Emmanuel, God with us, awash in the wonders of your love, moving around us, in us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. There's two lines from our contemporary reading today that I did want to repeat. The only way for this pattern to change, and that's the pattern of power balance, is for God from God's side to shift the power equation and come to us in a vulnerable position. Seeing God in the form of a small baby radically illustrates this shift in power. Now, you'll remember that 2 weeks ago we celebrated with Zechariah when his son John, who would be known as John the Baptist, was born. Born to Elizabeth when they were up in years. So far up in years has to be considered a miracle. So much so that Zechariah could not even believe it when the messenger, the angel, gave him the good news. So much so that he requested a sign to prove that it was true. And the sign Gabriel gave him was to strike him mute and deaf, to close him up. Probably not the sign that Zechariah had in mind. Now, I think in that the angel was saying, you are the sign. You are the sign. You and Elizabeth are the sign. Your son is the sign. You are the miracle. I mean, really, we should expect miracles out of life, shouldn't we?
Yes.
That was sad. We should expect miracles out of life, shouldn't we?
Yes.
Amen. Albert Einstein said there are only two ways to live your life, as though nothing is a miracle or as though everything is a miracle. I think you know how Zechariah may have lived up until that point. Now, if you aren't open to seeing miracles, if you aren't open to the movement of the divine within your life, then you may never experience it. Or rather, you may never be aware that you've experienced it. It may whiz right past you like the good news to Zechariah. I think that may have been Gabriel's message to Zechariah. Be fully open to possibilities, lest you find yourself enclosed and trapped within your own doubt, within your own questions, without even knowing it. Now, the lectionary passage offered to us today takes us back to that point, back to that orbit of John the Baptist and Zechariah, and the meeting between two women, Mary and Elizabeth, both with some pretty amazing miracles between them. Now, the stories of the Bible and how they are told are not always linear. Sometimes they jump around in time and in space, like the traveling Doctor Who, who once said, things don't always happen to me in quite the right order. Now, the stories in the Bible open, unfold, and they move around, and they're indeed living. They're ripe. They are pregnant with meaning. So many things, so much wisdom just waiting to be delivered into the soul who is prepared to receive it. And so Mary's journeys, she journeys to see her relative Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, the baby she was carrying inside leapt. It kicked. It jumped. Jumped for joy as if in recognition. Now, exactly how Mary and Elizabeth were related is unclear. The KJV translation, the King James Version, calls them cousins. But other translations simply say relatives, which is in keeping with the original Greek word. And nowhere in that original text is their relationship made clear. I like the fuzziness of it. I also like how some translations have tried to make order out of it by calling them cousins, and thus setting the stage for the relationship between Jesus and John the Baptist, which we don't know technically, although some say they were cousins. Now, but to me, the important part is that they are somehow related, and there is a relationship existing between them. They know one another, and so do their children. Now, we've explored a lot during our Advent journey this year with regard to the truth that there is all too often very little room in our lives for anything beyond ourselves and our own concerns, and how we may learn to make room for things beyond ourselves, to make room for things to enter into our lives, to make room for hope, peace, joy, and love, to make room for God, the divine, to enter our lives, to make room in our lives for miracles. Last week, our guest preacher, Alexandra Billings, challenged us to also make room for ourselves at the table, to live our faith out loud beyond these walls, in care and with concern for our fellow human beings. Now, without realizing it, she also echoed a line in one of our previous contemporary readings. The function of religion is not to make people feel good, but to make them good. Being happy is nice, but joy requires some sort of action or leads to some sort of action, like jumping for joy or taking that joy and spreading it to others in the form of love, which manifests itself in the form of care and concern. The cultural and human-created tug of war between the phrases Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas has absolutely nothing to do with religion. Let me be very clear on that. Nothing to do with religion. Although some try very hard to make it that way, it is simply a devilish distraction to the real purpose of religion. What makes it devilish? Using the guise of religion to dismember and dismantle religion, which is to bring people together. And the day of Christmas is not what our religion is all about. It's Advent. It's about the coming of God among us. Not 2,000 years ago. Not even in the beginning, but now, right here, right now. It's about Emmanuel, the meaning of which is God with us. God with us. Now, one of the beautiful turns of phrase that appears in the process of translation is that God pitched tent and lived among us. Not even that, but lives among us. Now, this also underlines the desert origin of our faith tradition. It wasn't born among white people in some squeaky clean cathedral. It was born among people of color, and it came out of the desert, out of the wilderness, like an oasis for the soul. And this entire season is there to remind us that this is ongoing, that this is now. Even when the closest many of us may get to a tent is an occasional camping trip in the wilderness or a display in Walmart. God pitched tent and lives among us, is encamped with us. Emmanuel, God with us now. And it's about where and how we make room for God in our lives. Make room for love in our lives. Now, you've heard it said that God is love. And you know that we are made in the image of God. And so then we are made in the image of love. Love made manifest, love living alive in us. Love living and capable of doing things. As one of my mentors would say, we are God's love with skin on it. We are God's love with skin on it. Now, this season is about a celebration of that incarnation. And it does no good to celebrate the birth of Christ if we don't participate in the process, if we don't somehow become midwives to the process, facilitators in helping to birth divinity into a world deeply in need of illumination. How do you encounter God? How do you make room for that which you may never have known? You do so by being open and receptive. The story that we have is God coming to humanity, divinity coming to humanity in the form of a baby. And not just a baby, not a baby born in a palace, but a baby born in a stable to a peasant couple halfway around the world. A vulnerable infant in need of care and feeding, in need of our love and the necessary manifestation of that love in order for it to grow. I think Father Richard Rohr makes an excellent point. When we think about engaging God, all too many of us are filled with this desire to placate, to control, to please, to manipulate God, to achieve some sort of cosmic quid pro quo, this for that, so that our lives are made good in accordance with our deeds. And our lives are then somehow favored above others. But that is not how it works. Read the book of Job. Love requires mutuality. It requires equality. It requires for us to make ourselves as vulnerable as God made God's self in order to enter into the lives of others. Not in power, not by domination or by force, but to deliver ourselves and God with vulnerability in order to bring God to them, to deliver God to them, to bring God to birth in their lives as well as in our own. How do you encounter God? Where do you encounter God? How does God come to you? Where do you recognize God? Where do you get a kick out of God? Where in your life is God reachable, accessible, and relatable? We know in the story that the ministry of John the Baptist is the precursor to the ministry of Jesus. And we are told today that the infant Baptist in his mother's womb, well, got a kick out of encountering the incarnation. Got a kick out of encountering God, jumped in recognition, jumped for joy. Mary came bearing God. Are you capable of bearing God? Are you capable of being the means by which another may encounter God? Are you capable of being the precursor to the ministry of God in the lives of other people? Perhaps this Advent season you have pondered the possibility of making room for God in the manger of your heart. I love it when a sermon is illustrated. This I promise, God does not need much space to enter. When there is no room in the crowded inn of your life, as people are coming and going and there's so much to do, just a little room, just a little stable space, a little quiet space, a little place within. That's all God needs to enter you. God comes to some in the order and the ritual. God comes to some in the random and in the beauty. God comes to some in the sound of a baby. God comes to some in the quiet stillness, in music or poetry or drawing or art or coincidence. God comes to summon the joy and unconditional love of a beloved animal. God comes to some in the eyes of an infant, filled with wonder. Mary's soul magnified God. Who or what do you magnify? How does God come to you? How does God make you aware of the all-abiding presence of God? What makes you jump with recognition, jump for joy inside when you encounter it? Find that, hold that, recognize that, and magnify that. Nurture, feed, and grow, for it is of God. Magnify the presence of the divine in this world. Enlarge. Make God great. Magnify God. Just as Mary needed no sign to believe, she was the sign. Just know that we are the sign that others may see. We can be the miracle. We can be the presence of God in the lives of others. We are the star proclaiming love divine. So, Christmas is a morning, it's a day, it's a holiday, it's a feast day, and it's coming soon. But Advent is a season, and the task of making room is always ongoing, here and now. Making room in our hearts for God, making room in the world for love. It is not a day, it is always. So may it be. Our community dialogue is going to be a little bit different today. If you have in your heart a word, something in which you encounter God, and you feel led to share it with us, please do so. Raise your hand, speak up, and please be brief. Yes?
My dogs.
Your dogs, wonderful, thank you. Yes?
Babies,
wonderful, thank you. Me too. Yes?
Snow free?
Yes.
Okay. Yes?
My pregnant daughter.
Wonderful.
Alexandra Billings.
Wonderful, thank you. Oh, yes.
Music.
Sweet music. Amen.
Trees,
beautiful. You're going to take two?
I'm going to take two.
Okay.
Piano.
Yes.
Yes.
Mathematics, yes. Amen.
Heat.
That's so you. Yes.
Just want to say, great sermon, Emma. Glad you felt like working. We never want to let you out of here.
That's more than one word. Yes.
Ruby, the little puppy.
Your puppy, yes. Ruby, yes.
There's a theme.
Billy Bob. Amen.
Two words.
That's okay.
Sunny day.
I want to thank you all for sharing the ways in which you encounter and experience God. The many ways. And know that all of those are wonderful, blessed, and valid. And at some other time, ask me and I'll tell you a story of how I do. You'll now join together in our community song, Silent Night, number 134. Let's go ahead and try all three verses this time. We've been wanting to and leading up to that, so let's try all three verses.